The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
different. Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious contenders.
How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown.
Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to episode 173 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Dee Dee Jonay.
Hi, friend.
Hey, friend. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
It's National Margarita Day.
How many of these you have?
Oh, six.
Okay.
And then I have some other cocktails afterwards.
Oh,
don't tell nobody.
So, as Sam would refer to you as three sheets tonight?
Listen, the margaritas weren't that strong.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, I'm still at one and a half.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
Returning after a short hiatus, none other than DJ Wally Sparks. What's going on, DJ Wally Sparks?
I'm back, baby. What's happening?
Oh, man, we good. Glad you could join us.
Right on. Glad to be here.
And we're also joined tonight by Miss Danny. How are you, Danny?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good. Glad that y'all could join us tonight. Of course, the WrestleCast is brought to you by CSPN. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play. You can also find us anywhere that you can listen to podcasts through iTunes and Android. Just download and subscribe to the WrestleCast. So, of course, like we do every week, we're going to get into a little bit of news. First bit of news, Jeff Jarrett, JEFFJARRET, is going into the WWE Hall of Fame this year in New Orleans. This has spawned a lot of controversy, as insiders know that Jeff Jarrett once held up Vince McMahon for almost $500,000 extra dollars to lose the Intercontinental title to China. And then he got the money and then showed up on WCW shortly thereafter. So there's been a lot of, like I said, controversy about this selection and nomination. So I'm going to start with DJ Wally Sparks. Since you're there in Tennessee, Jared.
Well, I'm in Atlanta.
Oh, you're in Atlanta now? Excuse me.
I know about Hendersonville.
So. Okay, yeah. So talk about what you think about Jeff Jarrett and his nomination to the Hall of Fame.
This was, like most people, man, this was a shock to me. Not only for the things that you just mentioned in your open about Jeff, but also he was Vince's direct competition for over a decade. I mean, he wasn't much competition, but he was, you know, the alternative. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, his WWE run wasn't spectacular. Literally the best thing we got out of it was his theme music. You know what I'm saying? And him doing the job for China, that was dope. But yeah, man, this was a shock. This was definitely a surprise for me.
All right.
I had a buddy that thinks he's gonna be signed some sort of deal. And he's going to be in some sort of upper management, in character, upper management role.
Okay. That could be something interesting. Miss Dee Dee Jonay, do you have any memories of Jeff Jarrett?
I had memories of Deborah.
Okay. but not of Jeff, huh?
Him and the guitar. I just remember him hitting everybody with the guitar.
Yes. Maybe him and Elias may have some type of interaction.
Maybe he's his uncle. Boom. K-Fade. Make it happen.
That's why, that's why Elias wanders. That's why everybody wanders. Elias.
Danny, do you have any thoughts or on Jeff Jarrett or any memories of Jeff Jarrett?
Other than him just hitting people with guitars and China beating his ass every night? No.
In the WWE, he was a 6-time Intercontinental Champion.
That's crazy. When you say that out loud, that sounds crazy.
Was he really?
Yes.
6 times?
Yep, 6 times. Like DJ Wally Sparks said, and like I said on Twitter, if you don't think Jeff Jarrett is Hall of Fame worthy, the theme song is. So either way, you know, it belongs in the Hall of Fame, either way how it gets there. So this is the way it gets there, then this is the way it gets there. But, you know, congratulations to Jeff Jarrett. And just another example that, you know, there are no bridges that can ever be burned in WWE. I mean, Vince basically at this
apparently
point.
Apparently not.
Yeah, I mean, he controls everything. There's no need to hold any grudges because everybody eventually wants to get back to you. So why be bitter?
Well, except for they hold a grudge against China, but you know.
Well, see, that has more to do with who makes these decisions for the Hall of Fame, who he's married to.
And they've also been easing off that a little bit. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the next 2 years they just go on and do what they should have been did.
I mean, that Triple H and stuff really been like putting China over, like on air.
That's true.
So, could be.
Well, China is a member of the WrestleCast Hall of Fame, and that definitely will be coming up here soon. We will be revealing this year's entrance into the WrestleCast Hall of Fame. So, stay tuned for that in the upcoming weeks. So we're going to get into our review of Monday Night Raw. We open with a moment of silence for the school shooting in Florida that occurred last week. So very classy gesture by WWE. Then we have a Roman Reigns promo where he starts off, where he says he's going to start off the gauntlet match. He puts over the challengers in the Elimination Chamber. And he claims that he is the only one who can beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. So then we go straight into the gauntlet match. Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, as they start the match. Seth Rollins jumps into a Superman punch, and he kicks out. Reigns sets up for the spear, but he eats a knee strike and a super kick. Rollins then counters a roll-up with a roll-up of his own, and he eliminates Roman Reigns. So let's stop and talk about this. Seth Rollins coming out there with that Monday Night Rollins shirt. Pretty good piece of marketing. Shirt was pretty beastly. Dan, I'll let you start first. Your thoughts on Seth and Roman's to open the gauntlet match.
It was a great match. They always put on a show, the two of them. And I love seeing Roman throw Seth's ass around all the time anyway. So it was fun.
Mr. DJ Wally Sparks, your thoughts on this opening bout to start out the gauntlet match?
So dig it, right? I didn't watch all of Raw this past Monday. And what I didn't see this particular part of the match. I saw the second portion of the gauntlet match. And because I was actually driving home, but I saw people on social media when I opened up my laptop when I got home saying that Roman and Seth were having a really good match. And when I turned it on, it was in the second portion of the match with Cena. And I was, you know, from what I saw, I could see was, you know, that Seth was actually putting on a clinic. And I especially remember Michael Cole hammering home the point that he had been in there for an hour. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it was just, it seemed like they were trying to hammer that point home for some reason. You know, maybe this is foreshadowing for an Iron Man match later on down the road or whatever, but those were my takeaways from that particular match because I came in like kind of in the middle.
Okay. Mr. DeJonay, I know you don't like it when your bays wrestle each other, so I know this was a difficult watch for you, but what were your thoughts between Seth and Roman?
Who, me?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know when this happened, but I really like Seth better. So that match is very like, because I didn't know where they were going with it. So it was one of those, and it was long too. So like, it gets you involved because you're like, is this going to be the end? Is this a false finish? So it was nice. I enjoyed it greatly.
Like DJ Wally.
Bigly, as your president would say.
As DJ Wally Sparks said, John Cena was out next. So Seth Rollins attacks him and picks up a near fall right away. Cena heads up top and Rollins runs up and hits a superplex. Rollins rolls through and he hits the Falcon Arrow for a near fall. Rollins then hits the ripcord knee and the super kick and the blackout, a.k.a. their curb stomp, connects. And Seth Rollins pins John Cena.
Curb stomp made my heart smile.
Same.
Yeah, there was a two humongous cheers and they were both for Seth Rollins beating Roman and John Cena back to back. The man's definitely... you know, they did more to help him as a babyface in these, like, in this, this is about 40 minutes worth of wrestling than they did with, like, that 6 months they've been trying to do it with him getting back with the Shield and Jason Jordan and all of that. So, this was a really good showcase for Seth. So, next, it's time to walk with Elias. As Elias comes out, he immediately covers Rollins for a two. Rollins dumps Elias to the floor and follows with a plancha, but comes up limping. Back in the ring, Elias hits a knee strike and a drift away, and Rollins is done after 1 hour and 5 minutes.
Iconic.
Yeah, that's...
When will your fave?
Yeah, that's longer
than... Is that the longest anyone's been in a single match in Raw history?
Yeah, definitely for Raw history. I think that Bret and Shawn went like 1 hour and 3 minutes or something like that when they had their Iron Man match that went into that overtime. But yeah, definitely for Raw, this was definitely the longest anybody's ever wrestled continuously. So Seth Rollins should definitely use that in his next promo, that he's the new 60-minute man. You know, take a little page out of Ric Flair's book, because not everybody can do that. Not everybody's conditioned to do that. I actually call this CrossFit Jesus Resurrection.
That's
yeah.
Because this is exactly what this match did for him. So now Finn Balor comes out. So it's Elias and Finn. Finn escapes and hits a double stomp. Then he hits the sling blade and shotgun dropkick. And he comes off with the coup de grace and he pins Elias. So next out, it comes the Mid-Taraj, but they run a little, you know, distraction that allows Miz to come up from behind. And he hits the skull crushing finale and Finn Balor gets eliminated. Next up, Braun Strowman comes out. So we have Braun and the Miz. The Miz tries to run away, but Braun chases him through the crowd and attacks. Braun gets distracted, and the Miz hits the skull-crushing finale. Braun kicks out, sends the Miz to the floor. Braun hits the running power slam, and Braun gets the win. So, DD, we got to take our drinks for our distraction finishes.
Hey!
And Braun Strowman is the scariest man in America when he's chasing you, and I don't know why anybody would run. You would probably have a better chance running at him than running away from him. You're just delaying the inevitable.
I don't ever want him chasing me.
If you're going to run, you got to run.
For real.
Like, you got to, like, sprint. Like, you can't, it's not a cute jog, because he's faster than you think his big ass is. So you got to, if you're going to run, you got to go.
Don't even hesitate about it. Just go.
Miz was doing a little gentle trot, and it's like, who do you think you're running from? Like, this is not Sergeant Slaughter. Like, you gotta go. Like,
it's like when you was a little kid and you'd be outside playing, and all of a sudden some big ass dog come out of nowhere, start chasing you. You got to strike out.
Yeah, yes. You gotta put the jets on. Like, you gotta go. It's not a game.
So after the match, Braun cuts a promo where he promises to win on Sunday and give Lesnar these hands at WrestleMania. And then he returns to the ring to take out the Mid-Taraj as the Miz runs away. The Miz falls as Braun catches him and rolls him down the ramp. He then power slams the Miz in the ring 2 more times to the delight of the crowd. I know that Vince is dead set on like this main event he's got at WrestleMania, like in his mind. But man, the people really want Braun to be their champion. Like, he got like a 3-month window right now where starting from right now, February, whatever this is, until about May, about Memorial Day, where the people are really going to want Braun Strowman to be the champ. And if he doesn't do it between then, he's going to lose it. And by the time they make him a champ, nobody's going to care about it.
If they happen to do the smart thing and actually put the belt on him either before Mania or at Mania, how long do you think they should keep it on him?
Good question.
How long did Jinder have the belt? He should at least get that one.
Longer than Jinder. Yeah.
Yeah, he should at least get a run as Jinder did. To at least grow into the championship.
Didn't Jinder have it for like 3 months or something like that?
Oh, he had it for more than that. He had it for about 4 or 5.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
And low key, SmackDown ain't been the same since.
Nope.
But
because he was like he was like a cornerstone. He was a cornerstone champion. Everybody you knew who the champion was and who everybody was gunning for. Now, as much as I love AJ, and Lord knows I love AJ, you know what I'm saying? But AJ is good because of the work that he does in the ring. Not for anything. AJ needs people around him to make his outside of the ring character work as a champion, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. As much as I love him and I love him being the champion, like Jinder, you know, that guy's the champion and this is the guy that everybody should want to take down. You don't get the same kind of feeling with AJ, or at least not right now.
Right. We get the official announcement about Jeff Jarrett going into the Hall of Fame. Then Renee interviews Asuka in the ring. Asuka says that her destiny is to win the title at Mania. Asuka isn't concerned with Nia Jax, who she recently beat. Asuka says Jax talks too much, but on Sunday, she won't be talking, she'll be tapping. Nia Jax arrives, and they brawl. Nia hits a Samoan drop, and then follows with 3 leg drops, and leaves Asuka laying.
She did what she was supposed to do.
It's the first time we've seen Asuka vulnerable, so this was pretty good. Danny, are you excited for this match? Are you looking forward to this match?
Who, me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, sorry. I am. I just don't necessarily know where they're going with the outcome yet.
Right. Do you think that they're relying on too many multi-person title matches? Like, because of the stipulation is if Nia wins, she gets inserted into the title match.
Yes, because that's what they do for every WrestleMania. They throw everybody in one title match and call it a day. They've been doing that for like 2 or 3 years now. Probably longer.
Bloop. She's correct.
I'll leave this up to Wally Sparks, this next part. They hype Ronda Rousey coming to Raw and Sunday's contract signing. Mr. Wally Sparks, how do you feel about Ronda Rousey coming in to WWE?
So I don't mind Ronda being there, right? They've already misused her. Already. You know what I'm saying? So the thing about Ronda is no one knows what she looks like as a professional wrestler. Like, no, we haven't seen anything. And, I mean, I get why she's there for the star power. I get that she is actually wanting to do this for real. I get that she's such a large name that you kind of got to put her in, main event adjacent. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But putting, you know, the way that they're using her now is causing the person that you just spent how long has Asuka been in WWE? Two and a half, 3 years? All the time that's been spent building her up.
You just down the drain.
Shot it down immediately. And that I don't particularly like. I'm not fond of that. But other than that, I mean, there are ways that you can get, heat back on Asuka, character-wise, and ways you can do it with Ronda Rousey. But I already know that if Ronda's going to be here long-term, her first program shouldn't be with Stephanie. And I think that's where they're going. Her first program should be somewhere in the title picture where if it were me, the way I would book it, I would have Alexa Bliss beat Ronda Rousey. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm kill sorry. Three,
but, no, listen to me, though. But she has to. Ronda is the one that helps Alexa beat her. She beats her by shenanigans. And that makes Alexa, like, the super-duper heel. And it gives Asuka something going forward. She's like, I didn't really get beat by you. You know what I'm saying? And that makes her pursuit for the belt seem better. I think that's a good way to use Ronda Rousey instead of what they're doing now. Because it all signs look like it's pointed to her and Stephanie at Mania. And, you know, who wants to see that for real? I don't.
Danny, what are your thoughts on Ronda Rousey? Are you in the camp with Miss Dee Dee Jornay? She ain't got no time for her. She can kick rocks and keep it moving.
Basically. I just don't get how they could basically just shit it on the whole women's division at the Rumble.
Word.
With bringing her in that way. They could have easily brought her in the next night in her own segment, in her own thing, and that would have been straight. Because the next night on Raw, they even overshadowed Asuka even more because they mentioned Ronda again, and then they announced the chamber. And then Sasha came out. So, whatever.
All right. The consensus on the WrestleCast and the RawCast is that Ronda could get booed out of the building. Kurt Angle mentioned her. There is a large section of boos on Raw. So this could backfire on them as far as the live crowd reaction on Sunday. So that's going to be something interesting to watch for. We get The Bar, Sheamus and Cesaro, versus Titus and Apollo in a non-title match. The champions isolate Apollo. They work quick tags and double teams. Sheamus covers Apollo for a two count. Sheamus knocks Titus to the floor, and he stops the tag. But Apollo rolls up Cesaro, and Titus and Apollo get the win. So Titus worldwide, back in the winner's circle.
Ridiculous.
And it's just Apollo now. He lost the cruise.
Because why everybody thought his name was Apollo Creed.
I wish that was true, but really it's because of the shooting. Like, the dude's name was Cruz, and Vince just had a fit and was like,
oh, really?
Really?
That is so dramatic.
Right, because I knew that because I... But that doesn't even make any sense.
Right.
Who out of, other than Vince, made that correlation?
I didn't.
Like,
because Cruz and Cruz are not the same thing.
They really aren't.
Latin big-headed murderous Cruz and Apollo Cruz. Like, why would we...
It's not even...
And it's not like he debuted after the murder. So, like, why would... That's dumb.
It's stupid. And they always do that to people. They always take their last name away and just expect us to be like, oh, their first name is all that matters. And no, we still call them what they are.
Creed. No, but you're right.
Matt Hardy, we get the official announcement that Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt have been added to the Elimination Chamber on Sunday. Then we get wacky Bray and Matt Bray and Matt promo calling each other liars. Then we get our main event as we have Bayley, Sasha Banks, and Mickie James versus Alexa Bliss, Mandy Rose, and Sonya Deville. Mickie James tags in Sasha Banks. Sasha hits the Meteora to Sasha Deville on the floor. Sasha gets back in, gets double knees, and the Meteora follows to Alexa Bliss. Bayley takes out Mandy Rose, but Bliss slams Banks into the turnbuckles, but Banks then locks on the bank statement, and Sasha Banks gets the win. Absolution then beats down Mickie James, Sasha Banks, and Bayley, and then they turn their attention to Alexa Bliss. But then Mickie James comes back, she makes the save, and they work together and give a double DDT to Sonya Deville. and Mickie James and Alexa Bliss are BFFs as the show ends. So, thoughts, concerns?
What was the point of this match?
Exactly.
Because nobody, they didn't even, there was nothing to win in this. Like, nobody got to pick when they enter the chamber. They didn't get to do nothing. So what was the point?
Yeah. Just to say you saw them.
Yeah, just to get them on the card.
They could have done without it.
Yeah, I told Didi before we recorded that they should have split it up and had two separate matches, two three-ways, where one set of matches is for who goes in first and one set of matches is for who goes in last. And then, like you said, it would have had some stakes to it and it would have drawn some interest towards the match on Sunday. But this didn't really do anything to draw interest towards the match, unlike the Gauntlet match, which just got everybody like, oh my gosh, I got to watch Elimination Chamber now.
Right, because even the weeks before that, they had individual matches where they determined who was going to be first or last or whatever for the men. So, so much for equality.
Well, I mean, I tried to say that Alexa Bliss had a point, but Dee Dee told me that she didn't. But, you know, it played out.
It was Black History Month.
It definitely played out to where, like, you know, they definitely did not give the women the same things that they gave the men as far as the Elimination Chamber and how that goes.
They didn't even build up the story. They just said, oh, y'all gonna be in this Elimination Chamber and that's it.
Right. Well, it kind of hurts because, like, somehow they figured, you know, five people isn't enough for the guys. We need to somehow add two extra more people in there. And so they figured out a way to do it. And then instead of getting Nia into the Elimination Chamber, they just say, oh, you're just going to wrestle Asuka. Mm. Which I think is the disappointment, because I think a lot of people wanted to see Nia in the Elimination Chamber.
Exactly.
So at this point, I'm gonna hand it over to our SmackDown Matters correspondent, Ms. Didi Jonet, for our SmackDown Matters report.
Oh my God, hi. They were in Phoenix this week. Immediately, the show starts with Renee Young in the ring. She introduces AJ Styles. She asks if AJ still feels in control of his destiny, what with the 30 people in his championship match. The crowd chants too sweet. AJ says he's confident he can beat anyone he faces, as he's done his whole life. However, he knows anything can happen in a fatal five-way. He says it'll feel good to put Kevin Owens to the announce table or slam Ginger Face, not Ginger Snap, Sami Zayn into the steel steps, but knows a move like that would leave an opening for someone else to pick up the pinfall in the ring. He runs down all the guys in the match and says he can beat any one of them individually. Baron interrupts before AJ can get to him. The crowd boos. Corbin says the last time he faced AJ, he won the U.S. title and he won the rematch. AJ's like, oh yeah, I guess that did happen. And then he says he has AJ's number and he'll pin whoever he wants to win the title. Owens interrupts. He says AJ was the one who will end up through a table. Corbin calls him a punk. Kevin says Corbin was handed an opportunity by Shane McMahon, even though he doesn't belong anywhere near the title. Owens ran some more, makes a comment about Sammy having all night to prepare for Dolph Ziggler's, but he still failed. Shane interrupts, and he essentially books Corbin versus AJ versus Kevin and Corbin versus AJ, and then another match, Kevin versus Ziggler. Guess what? Are you prepared? Guess when the Kevin versus Ziggler match starts?
Oh my God, when?
Right now. Gasp. So yeah, Ziggler has three drop kicks early, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. They go to commercial, but the match is still in the corner. Kevin gets the better of Ziggler, but then Ziggler nails the vertical suplex back in the ring. He misses a stinger splash, and Kevin follows with a cannonball for a two count. Ziggler hits Owens with a jumping DDT. Kevin goes shoulder first into the post, and Ziggles follows with a neck breaker for two. Then there's a gut buster and an elbow drop. And then Kevin goes for a senton, but Ziggles got his knees up. It hits a famous surf for a near fall. He slips out of a pop-up powerbomb and hits a zigzag, but Owens kicks out. Another stinger splash, and he goes for another one, but abruptly stops because he hears Sammy's music. Sammy runs down the ramp, but does not enter the ring. The distraction, the distraction allows Kevin to nail a super kick to the side of Ziggler's head and cause a concussion and get the win. That's some good OJ.
That was good heel tactics.
Yeah, it was. That's what you do. There's a video package for Charlotte. We'll get on with that. Then Jinder Mahal comes out with Sunil Singh, not the other one. Just the Sunil. They're all wearing black, blah, blah, blah. He says he made a discovery about Bobby Roode. He has Bobby Roode's SmackDown Top 10 list. Remember the list where everybody votes for their faves, but it's a weird-ass list. We don't quite know what it's about, even though they've told us. I think it's a shenanigan. He shows the list on the screen. Bobby has voted himself number one, although you're not supposed to vote yourself. And he has not placed Jinder or Randy on the list. Jinder calls Bobby arrogant, and then Bobby interrupts. He says, I don't know what that is, but that's not my list. But I know a secret about Jinder, and that's he can't even make anybody's top 10 list. And so you're supposed to go, boom, roasted. So Jinder wants Bobby to admit that he thought he was better than Randy and that he's afraid. Bobby's like, nope, and I'm not afraid of you neither. So then Mahal says he should be afraid because he beat Randy to win his title. Bobby cuts him off and tells him to stop talking about Orton. Bobby gets in his face. Orton interrupts. He faces off with Bobby, then punches Jinder in the face. Then Bobby knocks Mahal out of the ring, chases away Sunil. Randy tries to give Bobby an RKO, but he counters it into a glorious DDT. And because Bobby Roode, as glorious as he is, does not keep his head on a swivel, as he's posing, Jinder jumps from behind and gives him a kalas. So it's not that glorious.
That was good stuff. I like.
I mean,
this is the best thing on SmackDown right now. If it's not involved,
it was good. But it's like, why are you posing? Your people is out, like they're right there. They didn't go to the back. Like pose with your eye turned. Like keep an eyeball out. Like I don't know. Maybe because I don't trust nobody. I just be like, what?
What? Right. Stay ready so you ain't gotta get ready.
My nigga. Yes. Yes. Okay, so next, Riot Squad versus Charlotte, Becky, and basically Riot Squad versus the Powerpuff Girls. So
can we talk about the extra stink Naomi put on her entrance this week though?
Please do.
Oh, but I'm just saying, yeah, it's a little bit. Yeah, she was dancing extra hard this week. I don't know if she was really feeling it. Maybe because she hasn't really wrestled in like a while.
Maybe that. Maybe it's the dry heat. Her limbs are limber. Her limbs are limber. That sounds awful. But anyway, yeah, you know what I'm saying. Nebe hits a split legged moonsault on Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan looks like. Who's Mandy Rose? Okay, so imagine Mandy Rose was like into heroin.
Wow.
That's what Liv Morgan looks like.
Jesus Christ.
I'm serious.
Whoa.
I'm serious though. Oh, man. Like it is the same thing.
Somebody said she looks like Bride of Chucky.
No, and no lies were told. It's very that. It's very that. I mean, anyway, I just want you all to get a visual. Because I don't...
You definitely got it.
But she's pulled out of the ring by the Riot Squad. Then Naomi hits them with the dive, but Liv drives her into the steel steps. Then Sarah applies a submission on Nebe, which Corey calls a modified Endicon device. Then Naomi hits a Hurricane Rana, tags on Charlotte, who beats Sarah's ass. Then Liv is distracted. What? Distracted. Which allows Sarah to hit a chop block. Charlotte fights back, makes the hot tag to Becky, who hits Sarah with a missile drop kick. Ruby tags in, and Becky gives her two exploders and a flying forearm, then applies the disarmor. Liv breaks it up. Everybody jumps in. There's some trading of moves. Ruby gives Becky a riot kick for the pinfall win. Boom.
Naomi was killing it in this match. Man, she was like springboarding and hopping around. So athletic.
She's so fucking athletic. Like, I don't know how she does it. It's so, she's so good.
Mm-hmm. She really is.
She's so good. And the funny thing is, she don't know she that good. Like, she knows she good. She don't know she that good.
Right.
Like, because she don't have that cockiness that, like, if anybody else knew they were that good, they'd be like, but listen.
Mm-hmm.
But listen. Like, she don't know she that good. And maybe that's to her benefit, because she would be a whole asshole if she knew just how good she was, because she's amazing. But anyway, enough about Nebe, our fave. Sammy finds Kevin backstage. Kevin claims that he was looking for Sammy to thank him, but Sammy's like, no, thank you, because ginger people have manners. He says that now he's in main events and wants to do what's right, which would be to pay back his friend. Kevin asks if he's serious. He's like, of course. They say together they will take out everyone at Fastlane until it's just them. And then Sammy lies and says he's going to lay down for Kevin in the center of the ring so that Kevin can become champion of WrestleMania. Now, I don't know why you think anybody believes that, but sure. So Kevin's looking at him crazy because, no, you're not. Like, people are stupid, but they're not that stupid. Like, no. Make your lie believable, you know.
I don't know, man. Sami Zayn is a very loyal and good friend.
Sami Zayn is not laying down for Kevin Owens at anybody's fast lane. Not especially after they got into a whole other match the other week, because he was like, I need my time. And it's just business. You're still my best friend.
Right. I don't play possum.
Those two things don't go together. He's going to kick Kevin Owens in the eyeball and go to WrestleMania. Which I'm down for, because I like gingers. Wait, I don't like any Caucasian people until 3-1. Because it's Black History Month.
You have exactly one more week to go.
Listen. Exactly.
Right.
Mbaku would be disappointed in me. I can't do this right now. I gotta wait. Come 3-1, all of my feelings will be felt. But right now, it's Mbaku or nobody.
Damn, I can't believe it's the 22nd and almost over. Fuck.
First of all, it was Wakanda forever. So it doesn't ever happen. It doesn't have to end if you don't want it to.
You right.
I can look at Big E. I can look at Kofi. I can make it keep going. We can even go old school. We can go to Lil Brown if we need to. Who else was around? Not The Rock, because he's biracial. Who else? We'll find some people. But anyway, I digress. Speaking of Big E, he has a match with Xavi versus Chad Gable and Shelty. This match is for the winner of this match will be considered the number one contender for the tag titles. So the New Day gets, they get graphics. So as Big E goes, oh, like it's extended, it's long, I can't do it. I feel like he did it for at least 10, 12 seconds. Like it was long.
You gonna pass out in the back one night.
He's got good breath control, modulations, he's got them. So as he says it, it's added to the graphics. It's beautiful. But don't you dare be sour. It's beautiful. Then Shelty and Chad come out. Oh, the match starts. Kingston distracts the referee. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And then Xavier breaks up the two count. Then he gives Shelty a forearm and a shining wizard, which looked like it hurt, which I appreciate. I need your moves to look like they hurt. The rock bottom, the five knuckle shuffle, those things, whatever Hulk Hogan's last little move, none of those things look like they hurt. Like, I need your move to look like it hurts. The shining wizard looks like it could concuss a man. I appreciate that. I like it. So, again, New Day wins. They are now the number one contenders for the tag team championship. Corey calls them ridiculous, and that's fine. Their celebration is cut short, however, by the Bludgeon Brothers. I love their music. How do you feel about it? Any of y'all, all of y'all.
I feel like the start of their theme should be the whole entire theme.
Just like dun, 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 dun. I love it.
Because when the lights come up, it changes a little bit.
Well, when it gets into like what probably would be the chorus.
Probably, something like that.
I just like that dun, dun. Like, I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, that's
I
sick.
I love that.
It does sound like everybody about to get fucked up, though.
Yeah. And they should keep it. They should keep it dark until they get right to the ring.
Yeah, I agree. I really like their music. Like, it just looks like I'm about to beat y'all up. Like,
right.
I'm a thug. Boom. Boom. Like, I don't know. I love it. But yeah. So their match is against a local competitor, too, also known as some jobbers. They slam both guys immediately outside of the ring, and then Eric slams Harper onto both of the men, and then they win with a crucifix bomb. So this fight is very quick, because that's what happens when you just beat jobbers. Charlotte has a selfie promo for her match against Ruby Riott. I want to call her Wyatt, like Wyatt Earp. And then Ruby does a selfie promo where she says she'll accept a match against Charlotte if she puts her title on the line. It seems out of order. And even my notes say it's out of order, but when I watched it, it seemed more like Ruby's should have come first, because she was more like, I'll fight you if you put your title on the line. And Charlotte's promo was, yeah, I'll put my title on the line to fight you. So they were not in the correct.
Yeah, order. Somebody messed up.
Yeah. They were wrong. So, but whatever. Point being, Ruby's going to fight Charlotte for the title. We keep going. Baron did some selfie promo. Nobody cares because his hairline is terrible. Shinsuke has a video pack. Listen, facts is facts. Shinsuke has a video package. Officially, Charlotte and Ruby are going to be at Fastlane. Bobby and Orton are going to be at Fastlane, defending Bobby's title. But your main event is a non-title match, AJ versus Baron Corbin. there's a spot where Baron tosses AJ over the announce table. AJ lands on his feet, runs up to the apron, hits a springboard forearm for a near fall. Iconic. But they make sure to note that AJ doesn't get the height he normally does onto the phenomenal forearm. I noticed that it wasn't a head, like a straight on forearm. It was more like Baron was to the left. So it was off center. But Baron follows with an impressive looking deep six for a two count. AJ applies a calf crusher, but Corbin slams his head against the mat to escape, as one does. AJ sets up on the apron for another forearm when Corbin goes after him and begins choking him. AJ shoves him off and then hits a phenomenal forearm for the win. Through the replay, AJ and Sammy jump AJ. They clear the announce table, but then Corbin lays out both Sammy and Kevin with the end of days, and that is how your SmackDown ends for the week. Yay.
Baron Corbin might be turning face.
Not with that hairline,
that was interesting, too.
Lord.
Gotta keep a beanie on if he's gonna be a face.
It just goes to show, like last week, that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn did a good job of getting him over with that beatdown to people actually have some sympathy for him. And then he followed it up this week by getting a little bit of revenge on him and in same turn helping AJ. So it's going to be interesting to see how they spend that coming forward. Mm-hmm. I think that Baron Corbin has his best matches against AJ Styles. So if they wanted to kind of make it work, that would be the person to make it work for him. So what do you think about the big cheer that they gave him where he had to stop his promo, AJ, in the beginning for them to acknowledge him? The face that...
I had it on mute, so I don't know.
The face that the face that rents the place Steve Jeunet built. So, at this point...
Thank you. Give me my flowers, guys.
Yes, he never acknowledges that, but one day he will.
I mean, listen, they get closer and closer every day to just straight up snatching what we say. And I'm okay with it. If you give me the tickets, take it. It's fine.
This show, this week, is brought to you by the good folks at Funko. Black Panther released their exclusive Funko Pops online this week, and you can go get 10% off of your first order by going through CSPN.us. Go to the website, CSPN.us, then click on Keep Our Podcast Free link at the top of the page. From there, scroll down to the Funko link, place your order, and when you get to the checkout, put in the offer code SHOP10. That's SHOP10 and get your 10% discount off your order. Again, that's CSPN.us and Funko. Do it today. So next we have NXT. We start with a great CN Almas, Johnny Gargano video package recapping their prior three matches and how we got to our main event later on tonight. Then we have the return of the Velveteen Dream versus No Way Jose. Velveteen Dream counters the pop-up punch with a dropkick, and then he hits the rolling Death Valley Driver. Velveteen Dream heads up top, and he hits the Purple Rainmaker, and he gets the win. After the match, Velveteen Dream cuts a promo, and he says that he's the man in NXT. Nobody cares about Aleister Black, Asuka, or Tyler Bleak because everybody loves the Velveteen Dream. I didn't see any lies there.
Sound about right to me.
William Regal arrives, and he announces that the Dusty Classic is returning. It starts in 2 weeks, and the winners will win the cup and a title shot at WrestleMania weekend. Next, we have Nikki Cross versus Vanessa Bourne. Nikki fires up and attacks, hitting forearm strikes and hits a corner splash. Nikki heads up top and hits the high cross and finishes things with the Purge, which is her swinging fisherman's neck breaker, and she gets the win. We get a video recap of Aleister Black and Killian Dane having their promo face-off from last week. Then we see footage of Shayna Baszler attacking Ember Moon last week and Kairi Sane making the save. Then we get our main event, CN Almas with Zelina Vega versus Johnny Gargano with Candice LeRae. If Gargano loses, he is gone from NXT. They trade strikes from their knees and then up to their feet. Gargano hits a super kick, but Almas accidentally takes out the ref. Gargano locks on the Gargano escape, and then Tommaso Ciampa arrives and attacks Gargano with his crutch. Almas then hits the hammerlock DDT and retains the title, sending Johnny Gargano out of NXT. After the match, Almas and Vega celebrate while Gargano gets thank you Johnny chance as Candice returns to console her husband.
Ciampa, so, SmackDown soon come?
I don't know. Ciampa returns to wave goodbye to his former friend.
Petty AF.
I did not expect Johnny Wrestling to lose this match.
I really
thought he was going to win and win the title.
Because I thought he was going to lose, and I think he's coming to SmackDown.
They can't do this to me. They have to have this match or this match, these matches between Johnny Gargano and
Ciampa.
And Ciampa.
They gotta.
Well, maybe Ciampa will come to SmackDown too. I don't know. Well, actually, he don't even need to come to SmackDown because they said that they're doing double brand pay per views now. But I feel like. Did we talk about that?
I meant to explain that, and I think I missed that, and that was a part of my news, but I don't think I read that.
Yeah.
Starting.
I'm gonna tell you what happened with them. I think Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa are both gonna get called up, but I think they're both gonna end up on 205 Live.
Right. That's what I was thinking too.
But is 205 Live considered a call up?
I don't know if they had the
Cruiserweight Classic, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't know if 205 Live is still an exclusive because they haven't had them on Raw in like since Ratface been gone.
Is it SmackDown essentially? Like if you're 205, you're SmackDown, right?
They tape it for SmackDown.
Tuesday, so I guess.
Well, if they tape it at SmackDown, basically you're SmackDown. Basically you're Blue, and Raw sucks again. Sorry.
It's gotta be interesting to see how they figure out a way to get back to this in NXT, but it doesn't look like it.
But I can't imagine they would drop it. Not when they have them waving goodbye sarcastically. He was just at the match a few weeks ago. Like, that doesn't seem like we want to pretend like it didn't happen. So, like, I feel like it's going to come up in some instances. It should come up because it's
good. I feel like they find a way to get Johnny back on NXT just so they can end it.
Right.
Somehow, some way. I don't know how, but they'll figure it out.
I imagine it'll be at, like, some pay-per-view pre-show. They love a pre-show.
Trying to get you to watch, Dee Dee.
Yo, why is Amara La Negra like? Damn. Anyway, go ahead.
So hot. Yeah. that was NXT this week. So main event was really good.
See beauty, you see it.
Right. I mean, my lord. Come on, purple dress. What? Yes. Let them know.
Next up is 205 Live. As again, we're still having our Cruiserweight tournament. So these are the last two matches of the first. We got three more matches to go in the first round. This is two of the last three. So we have Aria Daivari versus Buddy Murphy. Aria Daivari hits a super kick and the hammerlock lariat, but Murphy kicks out. Murphy then counters and lays in kicks and strikes. Murphy then hits the sweet-looking pump-handled Death Valley Driver, and Buddy Murphy gets the win. The story of Buddy Murphy is really cool because, like, you know, he had to cut all this weight to get into the tournament. So, they keep weighing him, and they show him, you know, having these weigh-ins or whatever. And so, last week he was, like, 204.5 pounds. This week he was, like, 200 pounds. So, you know, he's all impressed with himself. And all that stuff. So that's a pretty good little side story to Buddy Murphy. Then we get Grand Metalik and Lince Dorado with Kalisto versus a local competitors. Lince Dorado hits a double lethal injection and he and Metalik then hit dual dives to the outside. Back in the ring, Dorado hits the shooting star press and Grand Metalik and Lince Dorado get the win. Drew Gulak and Mark Andrews cut promos about their upcoming match. Then we have our main event, Jack Gallagher versus Mustafa Ali. Gallagher hits a hammerlock slam to the buckles and covers and gets a two count. Ali flips out of a superplex attempt and then Ali hits a super kick and a tornado DDT. Ali hits the imploding 450 to get the win and advance to the next round. So advancing so far, we have TJP, Cedric Alexander, Kalisto, Roderick Strong, Mark Andrews, Drew Gulak, Buddy Murphy, and Mustafa Ali. 205 Live, like I said, with the mixed match challenge, like cutting it down, is really good now. And plus Triple H taking it over, the guys get a little bit more freedom to be like true cruiserweight. So you're getting to see a lot more high flying action, and it's a lot more enjoyable show than it has been in several months. So I would just, you know, advise people to, you know, take like 30, 40 minutes and check it out. It's a lot better than it has been in the past. Especially, especially next week, because TJP and Cedric Alexander are going to wrestle each other, and that match should be pretty good.
We can't wait for Cedric to beat it up.
Didi, what's your gimmick? Oh. Didi, did you hear me?
Oh, hi. I thought I was on mute. I'm sorry. Oh. I'm a grown ass one.
Delayed reaction there.
I'm sorry. I really did think I was on mute. I was like, ooh, how do I get there? Yeah, I'm a grown ass woman.
All right. So, of course, this Sunday, we will have the Elimination Chamber starting at 8 p.m. on Sunday. Hashtag ChamberCast. As will be the official hashtag for the live tweet this weekend. Please join us and share your commentary with color. So, of course, that means that we're going to play everybody's favorite game show, Who You Got? So, Didi Jonet, in the role of our statistician, will be taking the...
Dana
Brooke. I was going to say Dana Brooke.
Yes. She will be, I was about to call you... Didi York. Alexandra York.
So there won't be any Who You Got for this particular event, but Ronda Rousey will be officially signing her Raw contract at the Elimination Chamber.
I got me not watching.
I'm saying.
That's what I got.
So our first match is going to take place between Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt. So I'll start with Miss Dani. Who you got?
Bray.
Okay. DJ Wally Sparks. Who you
got? I'm gonna go with my heart says this is not gonna happen, but I'm gonna go with Bray Wyatt.
All right. Miss Didi Jonet.
Wait, what was the first one?
Hardy? Yes.
And then Wally said Wyatt. I say Wyatt.
And Don. I'm going to say Matt Hardy as well.
Ooh. Okay.
Next up. A Raw Tag Team Championship match. We have The Bar, Sheamus and Cesaro versus Titus O'Neil and Apollo. DJ Wally Sparks, who you got?
I'm going to go with Titus Worldwide because it's Black History Month.
All right. Miss Dani, who you got?
Titus Worldwide.
Okay. Miss Didi Jonet?
I got The Bar.
Okay. This is a tough one because Titus Worldwide ain't eat something. Bar's been kind of stale. I'm going to join Wally and Dani. I'm going to go with Titus Worldwide.
Okay.
So that's if you win, that's going to be the one you win on.
Yeah. That's going to be like, ow! Which means I'm not going to win, but that's okay.
Next up, we have Asuka versus Nia Jax. Nia gets added to the Raw Women's title match if she wins. So, Miss Didi Jonet, I'll start with you this time. Mm. Who you got?
She can't be undefeated forever. But she ain't been undefeated that long here on the main roster. So, I guess I have Asuka.
Okay.
I don't know.
DJ Wally Sparks, who you got?
I'm rolling with Asuka too because I don't think this is the time that you kill a streak off. That's that. I think you saved that for something major. You know, not an in between pay per view. So I'm going with Asuka.
Okay, Miss Dani.
Asuka.
And I will make it a clean sweep, Asuka as well.
surprised you didn't try to shake the table with that one.
Not yet. Maybe, okay. Maybe with this one. So we have the Raw Women's Championship Women's Elimination Chamber match, where we have Bayley versus Mandy Rose versus Mickie James versus Sonya Deville versus Sasha Banks versus Alexa Bliss. So, Miss Dani, I'll start with you this time. Who you got? Dani, it's your turn.
Mandy, Sasha, Alexa, Bayley.
And Sonya.
Sonya. What's Flair Pants?
Oh, Mickie James?
James, okay.
Flair Pants.
I couldn't think of her name.
Young Bell Bottoms.
Yes.
Young Bell Bottoms.
Young is generous, but yes. All right, Dani, who you got?
No, she might have dropped on us. Dee Dee?
She just left. I just heard her. I don't want to choose yet.
Okay, I'll go. So I know who I'm going to pick.
Who?
The champion, Alexa Bliss.
Okay.
I've been burned the past 3 pay-per-views not picking Alexa Bliss.
I've asked you, do you want to pick your favorite? You're never like, yeah. This is going to be the one time you're wrong because you picked it. Wally, who you got?
I'm going to go with Alexa Bliss also. I don't think you take the belt off of her. She's too good of a heel not to utilize her at WrestleMania as a champion. Because I want to see her lose on a big stage. You know what I'm saying?
Fair. You're probably right. I'll just go with Sasha just to say I did.
Black Girl Magic. I wonder what outfit she's going to have for this one. If she's going to do something cool, or if she's going to just wait till WrestleMania to display something.
Man, she can do whatever she wants.
I mean, if it's her own budget, she could do all kind of things. All different things.
Do you think that
all
she...
All different things.
Do you think she spends money on her stuff like Naomi does? Or do you think she just does what does?
Yeah. Her husband make her stuff?
Yeah. Because I used to think Naomi just got the good budget, and Naomi was like, no, I buy that stuff.
Yeah,
and it's a good investment. She's good to spend her money. I feel like Mickey gets her shit straight off of the truck.
Wardrobe, yeah, go to the back. Oh yeah, this looks good.
Be like, what you want? Oh girl, we had these from 2002. It'll do. It's great.
All right.
Where's Dan?
I don't know what happened.
Oh girl, there she is.
Who you picking?
I'm right here. I don't even know what just happened.
That's fine.
For who?
It's the women's chamber. So you got Mandy, Sasha, Alexa, Bayley, Sonya, and Mickey.
Sasha.
Cool. Join me. Yes. All right. So 2 for Sasha, 2 for Alexa.
All right. And then our main event of the evening, the Universal Championship number one contenders men's elimination chamber match, where we have The Miz, who will enter first, versus John Cena, versus Braun Strowman, versus Roman Reigns, versus Seth Rollins, versus Finn Balor, versus Elias, who gets to enter last. So, DJ Wally Sparks, who you got?
I know who's going to win, so I'm just going to pick who I want to win.
Yes.
And that would be Bray Wyatt, so he can say he did it twice in a row.
He's not
in
this match.
Bray not in this match.
Excuse me. I'm high. Pardon me. I meant to say Finn Balor. That's what I meant to say.
Oh, okay. Balor. Okay.
All right. Ms. Dani.
Hey, at least he know.
Right.
I'm going to go for the win, Roman.
All right.
Really?
Well, because we all know he's going to win.
Really? I got Braun. I don't... Listen. I figure the only way they'll win is if they work together, but men are stupid, so I figure they won't do it right.
I was going to pick Braun until Monday night, And then this got me really wanting to pick Seth Rollins. So I'm going to pick Seth Rollins just to make it fun. Like
it
Wally.
Was so good. He deserves.
Right. Like Wally, I think I know who's going to win, but it would be cool if they did switch it up and make him work a little extra harder to get there.
It's not spoilers because we live a kayfabe life. Who do you think is going to win?
The big dog.
Yeah, I want a surprise, so I'm cool. Either way.
The big Who? Dog. Roman.
Oh, do I
really?
I'm going to win, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Roman's going to win.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. You said, oh,
yeah. We're heading for Roman Brock, too. Yeah.
This has been having this in his mind for 3 years. This has been his master.
Really?
This has been his.
Because I live a kayfabe life. All of this has, like, escaped me.
This has been.
And honestly, I drink a lot, so I don't recall
things. This has been his master plan to get Roman over, is to have him be the one to beat Brock after not beating him the first time.
But we want Braun.
Right,
that's not
right.
Hurt.
But see, that's what happens.
Every time he tries, something gets in his way.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This stupid shit.
Hopefully, Hunter will tell him. Like, that's not gonna work. This is what happened.
He's
last
hard headed.
Your timing is not like, right.
I feel like Triple H actually probably is telling him.
Like, he just isn't listening.
Yeah, Vince hard.
But listen, Vince is old. Hard-headed. This is old. Sometimes yes. You just gotta do things. You just gotta be like, no, we're not doing it that way. And then you'd be like, really? They didn't? Well, I don't know. Like, you know, just act like you don't know why. It's fine. Just pretend like, listen, this is the problem. Sometimes you have to ask for forgiveness and not permission. You're welcome.
just do it and apologize later.
Yeah. Be like, really? Wow. I'm so sorry. Because if you say, hey, Vince, can we put the title on Brock? Or not Brock, what's his name? Braun. They're going to be like, he's going to say no. So what you do is, you say, okay. And then you say, Braun, you're going to win the title. And then you'd be like, oh, he didn't do what you said. Wow, that's crazy. That's a business.
It's live TV. We can
it's
do
easy.
Anything
you can't
we
stop
want.
It. You can do anything you fucking want to. They can't stop you. It's fine.
Right, but yeah.
They'll have to fix it later. And I'm sure you've got a good contract. It's okay.
But hopefully, yeah, somebody can get to him between now and then, and they go in the opposite direction. And if they set up that Braun versus Brock at WrestleMania, whew, that's a sellout for sure.
What I can guarantee you all is that there will be no task scores. So.
Yes, that's good. So, again, check us out this Sunday night starting at 8 p.m. The hashtag will be hashtag.
It's only 5 matches.
Chambercast.
That's
yeah.
Crazy.
Well,
the way up, only 2 blasts.
Well, the chamber matches are going to probably be close to an hour, 45 minutes.
Yeah. That's true. Way up. I feel blessed. Yes.
But, as we get back, is before we wrap up and get the shout out, like you were talking about, they're going to combine the pay-per-views starting at, I think, either after Backlash or starting at Backlash is one of the two. But yeah, then the pay-per-views are going to be 4 hours, though.
What?
You said 4? Yeah. What you mean?
Well, they got to cut back. They have too many pay-per-views.
Because they're going to cut back the number
four
of pay-per-views.
Hours?
But now it's just going to be double the content because they
got
to have.
What's that? Who filled out the form and said, I want a 4-hour?
It's either that or you have what we've been having where every 3 weeks you look up and it's another game of who you got.
But that's what it's still going to be. It's just going to be double the people. Isn't it still one a month?
It'll be one a month, yeah. But twice the card now.
That's worse. That's not better.
Well,
that's not better.
That's where we're headed.
They can hire me. We can do this.
Consulting fee? What's your consulting fee?
Listen, I just need enough that I can live a happy life. Buy my liquor fee. Like, I'll take all of those. When I go to the Costco, I'll take that one. And those 4. Yes, thank you.
But yeah, that's our future.
Oh,
so.
God. 4 hours. You mean like 4 hours and a pre-show?
They, like 4 hours.
They may.
Because they're 4 hours now.
They may cut the pre-show down like 30 minutes and then just.
The pre-show is a scam. So it's 4 hours now.
Right. hashtag say no to pre-show starts at 7.
I don't like it.
So at this time, I'll open it up to our guests. We'll start with Miss Dani for your thank yous and shout outs.
Thank y'all for having me tonight. Shout out to y'all and everybody in the WrestleCast and in the hashtags. That's pretty much it.
All right. Thank you for joining us as well. Mr. DJ Wally Sparks, your thank you and shout outs.
Once again, thank you to you all for providing this platform. This is a really, really cool thing that you all do. And I feel privileged to that you all asked me to come on multiple times. And, yeah, man, if you're in the Atlanta area and you want to come dance at a really good party, just find out when I'm DJing and show up. And we can have some fun.
All right. Ms. Didi Jonet, your thank yous and shout outs.
Shout out to Dani. Shout out to Wally. Shout out to Don. Shout out to Greg, Sam, Chairman, Mel, because Mel always gets shout outs. Shout out to Hydrogen Peroxide, because long story, not so long, I had a piece of glass in my foot for like 2 days. And then I got hydrogen peroxide, and then I got the glass out. Yay, let me do it. Shout out to National Margarita Day. Shout out to National Margarita Day. But no shout outs to the bar where I had 5 margaritas and I was still sober. You did your job poorly.
How does that work?
Sobriety. Listen, had I not gone to another bar and had some old fashions, I'd have been like sober as hell. Because I was like, I think I'm tipsy. And my friend's like, you're not tipsy. You've seen me tipsy. This ain't that. And I was like, oh, I wanted to be. They were $8 a glass. Like, I wanted it to mean something. It meant nothing. But yeah, shout out to drinks that have liquor in them. You're wonderful. And I think that's it. Yeah, that's it.
All right. I'd like to give a big shout out to Dani and Wally Sparks for joining us this evening. Of course, give a big shout out to Miss Didi Jonet, SmackDown Matters correspondent. We'll give a shout out to Greg and Sam, classic, of course. Give a shout out to everybody here on the CSPN network, putting in the work. Check us out, all the shows, Bad and Boozy, check out Rock Solid Radio, Off That Drink, Know the Score, Comic Book Chronicles, just everybody on the network, Crown and Collars, and of course we cannot forget Ratchet Ramblings, of course, so you guys can catch up on your Ratchet TV. Again, join us this Sunday for hashtag Chambercast as we live tweet Elimination Chamber as a family. Shout out to everybody who's in the SmackDown Matters and Rawcast live tweets this week. Shout out to the glow, the whole glow, and yeah, so just, you know, if you guys, you know, check us out this weekend. New Japan fans, Cast a Strong Style. They've got Honor Rising events back to back on the 24th and the 25th. It's their Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi are reunited. The Golden Lovers are back for this weekend, so it's a big deal in Japan. So, of course, if you're going to be up live tweeting those shows, use the hashtag Cast of Strong Style. Miyamoto will definitely be locked in on those two events this weekend. Basically, the Ring of Honor crew is coming over to Japan, and they're going to have 2 back-to-back nights of action, so that should be really fun. So if you're on New Japan World, check that out, and that'll be a good prelude into the Elimination Chamber on Sunday. And with that being said, for our special guest tonight, Miss Dani and DJ Wally Sparks, our SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Didi Jonet, I'm Don DeLaRente, and this has been episode 173 of the WrestleCast.
So without further ado, Bobby Roode's personal SmackDown Live Top 10 Superstars list. Now the first thing you'll notice is that Bobby Roode
broke the cardinal rules. He voted himself number one. The second thing you'll notice, aside from myself not being on the list, there is another name missing from the list. No, he's not number two, he's not number four, he's not even number nine. That name is Randy Orton. Bobby Roode actually thinks he deserves to be ranked higher than Randy Orton. And just like I said last week, Bobby Roode already fancies himself as the new legend killer. Yet Bobby Roode has the audacity, he has the gall to say that he respects Randy Orton. He says that he respects everything Randy Orton has accomplished. If you haven't yet put it together, the Roode awakening is that Bobby Roode is a glorious egomaniac and an inglorious liar.
I don't know exactly what that was, but it certainly wasn't my list. However, I do have a secret on you. You see, you can't even make a top 10 list. But more importantly, you want to be United States champion. And you want to be United States champion so bad that you're trying to pit Randy Orton against me so that every time I walk out here, you have me looking over my shoulder to make sure that I don't get attacked out of nowhere. When the truth is, Jinder, in a fair fight, you know you can't win.
You're right. I do wish that I was United States champion. But now that I've come clean, Bobby, I need you to do the same. I need you to speak the truth. Admit it. You think you're better than Randy Orton.
I never said that.
Oh, so you do believe it, and you also think that you're the next legend killer.
No, I never said that. I never said it.
So you're scared of Randy Orton.
I never said any of those things. But you want to know who I'm not scared of? You!
Well, you should be, because I beat Randy Orton.
Forget about Randy Orton! Forget about him! This is about you and me.
Oh, and Orton, a shot on Jinder Mahal.
Bobby Roode. The party. There goes the Maharaja.
Sunil Singh. Oh, Sam the hard way. Randy Orton. Glorious DDT.
Roode was ready for it this time, and Roode responded.
Turnabout's fair play. Once again, Jinder Mahal is the last man standing of the trio.